This is a pre-show acknowledgement. That I will never forget what happened on September 11th, 2001. The first people who died on 9/11 were airline crew members. Many, many people followed afterwards because of their deaths. I will not forget the sacrifices that were made that day, the first responders who gave their lives to try to save others, everyone involved. It happened. Planes were hijacked. They weren't taken over by radio control. I have heard more than I can tell about all the things that happened behind the scenes and everything that happened that day, because I was heavily involved in the airline industry at that time. And all I'm going to say is, it actually happened. It is a solemn thing to remember. So I just want to put that in front of the show to say that I will not forget, and we should not forget as a nation. God bless the families who were affected that day. And our entire nation was deeply affected. I will never forget that. Oh, the fallout. It's the news, according to me. Good Wednesday morning, September 11th, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am here at the home studio. All right, enough with the music. While other hosts are still probably sleeping in because they were up so late last night with their live shows. I had a live show. We had a live show last night. And I played most of the, probably 4/5 of the debate that I broadcast live here. The news according to me. But the news according to me is still up, and Adam here this morning doing another show, because that's the way we roll here. The news according to me. We're dedicated to this, to getting you the information that you need in this election season. To tell you what to think. That's not what we do here. That's what most of the media does. They tell you what to think. That when something comes out, they tell you, this is what you're supposed to think about it. Without you having seen the debate or heard the debate, they're going to play little clips, and they're going to tell you what you're supposed to think about it. Now, I am not going to play little clips this morning. I played the whole thing last night. And I'm certainly not going to tell you what to think about it. I am going to talk about a few points that are my opinions, because that's what I do here on the news, because it's according to me. It's the news according to me. That's what that's all about. It's every time I say the news according to me, that comes in with that whole thing. That's what happens there. It's part of the punch at the beginning, in case you hadn't noticed, after 778 episodes. I have, like that matters. I have, the only one that matters is the next one. I have, a few things I want to talk about, a little bit about the fallout that's coming out. Now, of course, this morning they're doing a victory dance. They think that they've one very important thing I think that's notable. I have not seen a post-debate interview of Kamala Harris yet. It is nowhere to be found on the YouTubes this morning. It may be out there, and she may have said something to someone. I haven't seen anything. Right afterwards, within minutes afterwards, Trump is standing in front of reporters answering questions. And of course, there's the old, you know, I consider it junior high-ish to step out and say, well, it was 3-1. It was. There's no question about it. And I even made some mention of it along the way they were talking to her and the way they were treating him. was just flat out obvious. There's some question about whether or not she had the questions ahead of time. Now, I would not, this has happened in the past. They do it all the time. I would not at all be shocked to hear that they knew, maybe not the specific question. They probably didn't have a list of the questions that they were going to read off from the teleprompter. They probably had something else, like, okay, we're going to have these questions, we're going to have these questions, we're going to avoid those questions. Stay away from these questions because that'll hurt her. So stay with these questions. There was a lot of questions that were just simply were not asked at all. I don't know of any time that they ever fact-checked Kamala Harris. This is a very subtle thing that they can do. They can fact-check Donald Trump, which, of course, they are very careful about how they do that. They never fact-checked her. They made Donald Trump fact-check her, which takes up his time. And puts him on the defense and makes him look like he's being pushy and angry and all this stuff. And throws him off his game. Now, she can sit back and let the moderator, because, you know, they only allow him so much time to talk. So the moderator gets to fact check the other guy, which wasn't real fact checks, by the way. All of this stuff is very subtle, and it makes it look like the parent had to step in and correct the child. That's inevitably that's what they're trying to do here. There's a whole lot of psychology going on here, and they had this all planned. They knew this was going to happen. They had statements pre-planned that I'm sure came up on the computer. I'm sure, and you know, when you see the moderators there who are not moderating anything, they're obvious. It was obvious to a lot of people that it was not a fair debate. This was a, we're going to attack Donald Trump debate. We're going to go after him on all these different issues, still get out our little talking points about find people on both sides, all this kind of crap that was out there, which has all completely been debunked. It's not what he said. They're implying that it was something that wasn't there. One of the weirdest moments was when I think I might have said something about this live when he was actually saying this. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but my dog is digging his way to China again down here. But what's weird about this is that, you know, when he came out with this whole thing, they're eating the dogs, they're eating. It's kind of like, it's turning the frogs gay. It's kind of like that kind of a statement. Now, of course, it did sound kind of wacky when he said it. And Kamala, if you saw the video during that time, she was literally doing one of her hysterical little cackles, laughing in the background. I think maybe Donald was actually trying to get her to that point where she would just start laughing about something. You couldn't really hear her. He could hear her, but the microphone was shut off. But you could pick her up on his microphone, which was interesting. So what would end up happening here was they would have this thing where she would say something or he would say something and she would come back. She was laughing about this. Trump came back and said, well, the television said, you know, so now it leaves him on the defensive again because they come out and say, well, we talked to the city manager and the city manager said, of course you talked to the city manager. You didn't go talk to anybody who's had their cat or dog eaten. There is police body camera footage of a woman in a driveway eating somebody's cat. And you're going to tell me that's not happening. That's not happening. It's not happening. Just like those Venezuelan gangs or whatever, the gangs that are coming up to Aurora, Canada, Colorado, they're not taking over apartment complexes there. No, that's not happening. And there's video of the exact very thing happening. And it's not AI video. It's just you can tell it's real stuff. This is real stuff that's happening. Chicago gangs are taking over in Chicago as well. And there's local gangs there that are fighting back. It's one of those weird things. I had heard one particular YouTube channel, I can't remember what her name was. She said, I don't know what bothers me more, that there's gangs taking over things in Chicago or that she's kind of relieved that there's actually gangs sticking up for or fighting back against those gangs. It's one of those dichotomies. It's like, I don't like the fact that gangs are taking over anything over there, but at least somebody's stepping up and doing something. Unfortunately, it's other gangs. It's just one of those weird, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. So Eric Swalwell, I think this was yesterday. This happened. Eric Swalwell had, he has this big dramatic presentation he puts on with this meme where it shows Donald Trump, he's hugging a kitten and a duck. Because what they're doing is they're going down to the park. You know how you'll see swans, ducks, you know, geese, that kind of thing, hanging out at the local parks and on the ponds. That's usually a very quiet, peaceful place for ducks and geese and swans to hang out. People feed them, so they come there. Well, they're literally catching these. One guy's walking down the street. He's got a goose that he broke his neck. He's walking down the street with this thing. He killed it at the park. He didn't find a dead one. He killed it. And yet we're supposed to not believe our lying eyes and ears. This isn't happening. She's over there laughing her head off hysterically, thinking that he's just crazy. And of course, Eric Swalwell, he's like, well, are these aliens that you claim are eating our pets? Are they in the room right now with us? No, it's illegal aliens, you dork. Eric Swalwell, I've seen this guy in person. I tell you, he's not exactly a fanboy. He doesn't have a whole bunch of people following him around asking for his autograph. This is a guy who was sleeping with a Chinese spy for who knows how long. Okay, we'll say dating a Chinese spy for who knows how long. By the way, a Chinese spy had been in the home and in the presence of New York City governor's office for how many years? Many, many years. Now, Hochul, it was Cuomo before, now it's Hochul that the spy is in the office there. They finally found him. Oh, we're throwing out the diplomat, whatever it was, whoever was in charge of her, whoever she was reporting to. Nothing to see here. Which, you know, brings back memories of Dianne Feinstein, who's driver for 11 years or something like that, or maybe it was more than that. It was at least 11 years. Was a Chinese spy as well. This is a woman who's doing all kinds of business with China. Her family is doing all kinds of business with China. I guarantee you the Hochuls, the Cuomos, they're all very familiar with how to do business with China. So the animal situation, they're gonna laugh that one off. Oh, how are you saying? What they don't want to have people find out is that it's actually true. This is actually happening. It's actually been happening. They don't want anybody to know that. What are my opinions about the? What's in my cup here this morning? I have chai with Almond Joy Creamer. I also have, this is the pièce de résistance. In my backup cup, I have homemade sweet tea with real peaches in it, which I had last night for the show. That's all I had last night to get me through the debate. But as the peaches have been in the tea for a while, it develops a better flavor. It's kind of like a fine wine. But it has procured itself into the... That's probably the wrong word. It just sounded like it fit. Has permeated the tea now. The tea has permeated the peach, and the peach has permeated the tea. It's a symbiotic thing. Very good. But I'll just keep on sipping on this chai while it's out here. So I'm home today. I probably will not be home. I'm guessing. I'm just guessing, but I probably am not going to be anywhere near my home tomorrow morning. At best, I might be on the boat. I probably will be either in Chicago or I will be traipsing around the country somewhere. Who knows where? It just might even be out of the country. Who knows where I'm going to be tomorrow or by the end of the day. This is one of those days where it's very likely I'm going to be sent somewhere to do something for somebody. So I have to be prepared for all that in the next couple hours here, and I'll be heading out to do my thing. So in the meantime, my overall sense of this entire debate, now the left is going to go nuts with sound bites and spin, and they've already got their spin ready to go. Kamala shined like the sun, and she did an incredibly good job. Now keep in mind, one of the issues here, the ornery cat is down here now. One of the issues here is that if Kamala was not given the questions directly, specifically, she was certainly given prep information. So they had her, because her answers, she rattled them off. There were some that she completely misdirected and didn't answer at all. Things like the economy. Just basically went nuts with most of what she said. There was a couple of times where she made these long, drawn-out statements that it made no sense whatsoever. I tried to actually analyze everything that she said, and I tried writing it down and trying to figure out what point she was making and how she was trying to answer the question or what she was actually trying to say. There was nothing there. It made no sense. So that happened a couple of times, actually. One time it just got drawn out way too long. Now, did Donald Trump lose any voters last night? No, he did not. Did he gain any ground? I don't know. I don't think so. Did Kamala Harris gain any ground? I think that among her supporters now, they have something to lean on. There probably will not be another debate. Everybody's now discussing whether or not she feels like she had a kind of a victory. She wants to do it again. I guarantee you, the way she feels about it and the way everybody's going to tell her that she did, they're going to say, oh, you did a smashing job, and you killed the guy. You should do it again. You're going to beat him into the ground. That's what she's being told. The commentary, for those of us, even some objective folks that I've heard talk about some of this stuff, the objective which are very few out there anymore, it seems like. Even the people people who are all in for Trump are just like, oh, Trump, you know, Trump won. Or they're blaming, you know, this is kind of thing where you blame the ref. Oh, the refs were terrible. Well, okay, whatever. That's something that a junior high kid does. You know, it's now my cat is clawing on it. It's the other cat, the ornery cat, is here now. Trying to bite me. So you can't just blame, you know, whatever for your lack of performance or for your lack of, you know, anything that you didn't come through with. Now, I thought he made some good points. There were some things that I thought he could have really knuckled down on that he didn't. He missed some points here and there, which is fine. This is Donald Trump in raw, you know, who he is. I don't think he had much debate prep at all. He probably had one session with Tulsi Gabbard. My understanding was she was supposed to kind of help him with some of that. And my guess is that it was that was part of it. I don't know. But it probably wasn't, you know, to any great degree. He's a very busy guy. He's out on the campaign trail talking to people, doing podcasts, doing all this stuff. Where he did win, I think, is on the issue of the economy. It's like, well, if you're going to do all these great things day one, why aren't you doing them now? You know, she made the comment about he's a dictator day one. He's going to do all this stuff. He said, find people on both sides. I'm surprised that she didn't use the suckers and losers line. And he got drawn into a couple of those different things. I have to answer this text real quick. It's just kind of screwy here. There you go. It's all done. All right. Thank you for your support. I have, by the way, this channel doesn't have any sponsors. I don't have any advertisements. So sometimes you have to put up with these little things that I do, like sipping on my chai or answering a text or just getting distracted by animals. And yet you still get more content here than you do with any, what is that? That is actually a cat clawing on my sound booth here. Basically, this is a big rubber room. I have this the setup I have here at home right now is this great big, I've got these big pads, these big rubber, they're like, I don't know what kind of, it's not neoprene, it's some kind of a rubber stuff. It's kind of like neoprene. It's really dense, high density rubber stuff. They're like 5 foot or 6 foot by 4 foot. And they just will not stop. He will not stop. So I've set it up so that it's created like a little booth here where I have my desk and my computers. Oh, he's climbing up the wall. I see what he's doing now. He's just jumping from one wall. Okay, so anyway, I've got this all set up. And then inside of this thing, I've got all these little panels, these little foam panels that diffuse as well as absorb sound. So it's to deflect the sound on the outside so that sounds from the air conditioning, that kind of thing, don't come through, as well as, you know, the inside here is just a big foam booth. So I'm in a big rubber room. And I don't have a door on it right now. I used to have a door on this thing. So now the animals can just come in and go as they please. Now, I've got another booth. It's made out of metal. It's on wheels. And it's actually going to be put in here eventually. It's a much smaller little space, but it's going to be absolutely soundproof and animal-proof as well. Animals, you know, they can claw on the thing outside all day long and we'll be able to hear it. We'll have that going for us. I've had this thing for over a year. I just haven't moved it into the house yet. It's a long process. It's very heavy. Thing weighs about 500 pounds. I got it in the house at one point and realized it was too tall to, I can bring it in, I can scoot it in, but then I have to turn it on one side so I can tip it up the other direction. So it's because it's fairly tall and I have to get it up in the ceiling or where I can, otherwise I can't tip it up because the ceiling hits the ceiling a certain way. But it's a very heavy, hefty little gizmo. The thing weighs, I think at least weighs 400 pounds. And so I've been trying to deal with, moving that thing around. And it's been a little bit of a challenge. So I'm going to be working on that. I'll do it. I'll do it eventually when I'm too old to do it. Probably throw my hip out and I'll never be the same. So back to the whole thing of the debate. We have, I think the issue before us now is how things roll into this particular situation. Now, one of the things that they really confronted him on, and they're going to use this, I guarantee you, all day long. They're going to use this. He wouldn't still won't admit defeat on the 2020 election. Now, knowing what he knows and even what I know, I would concur. He did not lose the 2020 election. And for Donald Trump, for him to admit that that something happened that didn't happen, what he should have said was, Joe Biden is the president. That's what he should have said. Did you lose the election? Joe Biden's the president. That's all he should have said. Not going to talk about the election. All this is, he's not admitting to the facts. This guy's unhinged. He won't admit to the facts. This is dangerous. Dangerous, man. He's dangerous. And all the things they're telling us about what a second presidency is, Donald Trump presidency is going to be. So, and all these people are calling on Kamala, and she has the endorsement of 200 Republicans. No, she has the She has the endorsement of the establishment Republicans. Because what they're doing, they're not endorsing Kamala Harris. They're endorsing the establishment. Keep in mind, this is not about, this is not a an election where we're electing a candidate here. We are electing someone who's going to go after the establishment. This is an election that's establishment versus non-establishment. Outsiders. Donald Trump represents the anti-establishment folks. Those who realize that the establishment's gotten way too powerful, it's gotten out of control, and needs to be reined in. RF Kennedy Jr. recognizes that and realizes that. Elon Musk recognizes that. Tulsi Gabbard recognizes that. Many, many others on the left recognize that. Now, Taylor Swift has come out, you know, now, well, we finally have an endorsement by Taylor Swift. She's endorsing Kamala Harris. Oh, good. That'll get them won. They'll win that election now. Now, you have to keep in mind, there is a huge group out there of Swifties for Trump. I hate even talking about this, but this is just this whole idea that an endorsement is going to get you somewhere is really rather ridiculous. This cat is just out of control. Move along. Nothing to see here, cat. No, don't be. Now you're going to come in here and bother the dog. This isn't going to work well. Probably going to end up wrapping himself around my leg and clawing it up. Oh, yeah, here we go. I don't know what he's doing. So, folks, I would not let this particular debate rattle you or encourage you either way. I think people are pretty much decided at this point. There's some undecided voters out there at this point, but a lot of people don't decide. There are people who don't decide who they're going to vote on until they step in the booth. There are people out there like that. Now, it's a very small majority. Fewer and fewer of those people are now than there used to be. There used to be that's the way it was because it didn't matter that much. And it was one of those things where people didn't pay that much attention. They weren't polarized the way they are today. But just the fact that the debate was such a slanted event, obviously slanted, and there are a lot of pundits who are objective who are even talking about this, that they realized that the debate was very lopsided with regard to the way they would talk to her, the way we would talk to him. They'd say, "Thank you, Vice President Kamala Harris. Vice President Harris, thank you, Vice President Harris." And they would say, "Thank you, Mr. Trump. That time's up, Trump." Kind of thing. Practically, they didn't say it that way, but that's practically what they said. They didn't call him President Trump. Now, interestingly enough, afterwards, when they were shouting out questions at him in this little impromptu interview, press conference he had afterwards, they did. They did call him President Trump because they were trying to get him to get his attention. Funny how that works. This whole thing has become very lopsided, and they're very desperate to do anything. And like I've said many times, the end justifies the means. So we'll see how this all pans out. I don't think this is going to change the polls at all. I really don't. I think that Kamala may get, if she gets any bump at all, she was already losing momentum in the polls, which is typical as the voting time gets closer. So we'll see how this pans out. Let's talk about the voting cycle itself. You know, most Republicans like to vote election day because we feel like our vote's going to be counted that day. There's a lot more people watching the scenes. My problem with this early voting thing is where's my vote sitting at? Where is it at? What's being done with it? And is the left countering that with, okay, we know that all these Republicans have come in to vote already, so we better print all these ballots out. They have all that time to get all the shenanigans that can happen behind the scenes. There's just a whole lot more opportunity for nefarious activity. They can change my vote. They can do all kinds of things with it. But the fact that they just know that my vote is sitting there See, on election day, everybody shows up and everybody just votes. And you don't know who's voting for who and you don't know what to expect. They can't print out, 10 million votes because they don't know. Who's coming in to vote? They can't shut down the voting machines because they're canceling both sides. And they know that most Republicans, most conservatives like to vote on election day. So that's when all the machine issues start happening, especially in the more populated areas and where there's more red areas, you might say, more conservative areas. So they don't have as many votes coming in. And many of these elections in many states were decided over fewer than 20,000 votes. In many cases, close to 10,000. 10 or 11,000 votes decided the entire state. So it doesn't take very long to make those kinds of changes. Now, when was the last time you went out and bought some paper for your printer? Most people don't print anything anymore. How many reams of paper can you buy in a box? Small box. How many of those boxes can you fit in your trunk? And those pieces of paper are about the same as the ballots, voting ballots. How many is in that box? Thousands. It would only take about two boxes full of ballots to change an entire state's election. That's all it takes. They pulled three big boxes of ballots out from under the tables in Atlanta. Don't tell me that there was no election fraud. I think we days after the election in 2020, that's when Rabbi Rick was here. We had long discussions about this whole thing, especially prior to January 6th. And when what actually happened there, all the anomalies, all the things, I could go through a list. It takes up more than a page of typed information of all the different anomalies, all the weird things, all the hearings that were happening. Just that kind of thing doesn't happen. You don't have hearings all over all these swing states and all this legalities and lawsuits from just average individuals when everything is on the up and up and everything looks normal. So it's just this idea that he won't concede the election. Well, he shouldn't have to. Because if you were really looking at this objectively, you would say this is ridiculous. Just ridiculous. So folks, as the day goes on, I really have to push on. Hopefully there will be a show tomorrow morning. I'll be keeping my ear to the ground this morning on what all is being said about the debate last night, because I think it's important for us to analyze the punditry, the spin that's put on this kind of stuff. We'll try to drill home on some of those things that are trying to gaslight us into believing one thing or another. Just, this is what you heard. This is what we said. This is what was actually happened. This is how it went. We're going to tell you what to think. Well, hopefully you can learn how to think. That's my goal, is to help you think objectively as well as critically when things like this are coming up, and things just in life in general, but also with regard to who we pick for our leaders. Folks, have a great day. It is trash day. I got to go take the trash over to the dump this morning. God bless. Have a great day. Continue to pray for our leaders. Pray for each other. Be well.